I'm going to call the Siskiyou County Planning Commission regular meeting for April 19th into order. The flag salute, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hart?
Here.
Commissioner Mello?
Here.
Commissioner Fowle?
Present.
Commissioner Veal?
Here.
Commissioner Lindner?
Here. Okay. So, approval of the minutes from the March 15th.
So move.
Second.
Okay, there's no discussion. Okay, with that, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, okay, motion carries. Okay, any person may address the commission on any subject matter within the jurisdiction or responsibility of the commission at the beginning of the meeting, or may elect to address the commission on any agenda item at the time the item is called by the chair, but before the matter is acted upon by the commission. Unscheduled comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Are there any comments that would, excuse me, are any members of the public that would like to address an unscheduled item on the agenda? Okay, seeing none. So any conflict of interest declarations on any agenda items? Any conflicts of interest?
No.
No, okay. So moving on. Presentation of documents. All items presented to the Planning Commission during a public hearing become a permanent part of the record. 12 copies of any information presented to the Commission should be given to the county clerk, or the clerk of the Commission for distribution to the commissioners. In order to obtain an accurate record of the testimony, please address the Commission at the speaking table and clearly introduce yourself with your full name and your address. Your address will not be included in the minutes of the meeting. A maximum of 5 minutes per speaker will be given so that all interested parties shall have an opportunity to address the commission. Availability of the public records. All public records related to an open session item on this agenda, which are not exempt from disclosure pursuant to California Public Records Act, that are dispersed to a majority of the legislative body will be available for public inspection at 806 South Main Street, Wairika, at the same time that the public records are distributed or made available to the members of the legislative body. All projects documents are on file at the Planning Division of the Siskiyou County Community Development Department at 806 South Main Street in Wairika and are available for public review. Item 8 is the public hearing protocol, which is in the agenda. I'm not going to go through that, but that will be the protocol will be adhering to for the public hearing. Item 9 is the right of the appeal statement. Projects heard at this planning commission may be subject to appeal within 10 calendar days of today's meeting. If the 10th day falls on a weekend, the appeal must be received the following business day. Please contact the county clerk for information. Appeals must be submitted to the county clerk's office together with an appeal fee of $1,250. If you challenge the environmental review of the project proposed in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues at the public hearing or in written correspondence delivered to Siskiyou County Planning at or prior to the public hearing. Request from staff. Are there any changed agenda items or considerations from staff?
No.
Okay. So new business. So the first agenda item is the Rutherford Boundary Line Adjustment, BLA-23-01, as categorically exempt. Staff report, please.
Thank you. This is Bernadette Sisson, Assistant Planner. Robert Rutherford has proposed to merge three existing parcels located at 5916 Chestina Place in the community of Lake Chestina, resulting in one 0.81-acre parcel. The standard process for minor boundary line adjustments is administrative, which is review and approval by the planning director. However, being as the resultant parcel will have double frontage to both Justina Place and Gallup Road pursuant to section 10-4.105.3 of the Siskiyou County Code, no lot shall have double frontage unless otherwise approved by the Planning Commission. The project is being presented to the Commission for review and approval. The project is consistent with the general plan and zoning for its area. This project is exempt from CEQA per section 15305A, as it is a minor lot line adjustment, not resulting in the creation of any new parcels. Agency comments received are included in the staff report, including a comment from the Lake Shasina Property Owners Association noting that they do not have any objection to the proposed project. No public comments were received at the time the staff report was written. Staff recommends adopting the categorical exemption and approving the Rutherford boundary line adjustment. There is a suggested motion in the packet.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the commission?
Yes.
Okay.
Why double frontage be an issue? When I read this project, to me, it's administrative. We are decreasing the potential build-out by taking it from 3 to 1. So what if it has two frontages? It's a lower impact. Mm-hmm. So why is our code triggering this to come before us when y'all should be able to sign off on this? If the property owners are good with it, run with it. Does anybody have a logical reason that has common sense behind it on why we need to see this because of double frontage?
Miss Lane?
No.
No, okay.
It's just the way it is.
Just the way it is.
Yeah.
Huh. I'd be curious too. Go ahead.
So these easements will go away once this is approved, is that correct?
That's correct. And the surveyor is here if you have any specific questions for him.
It's not necessary, but what's the purpose for consolidating these parcels? Is this for a house, build a house?
That's not a part of the proposed project.
I know, I'm just...
Oh, no, it was not indicated.
No.
But it is the purpose.
That is the purpose.
The house was burnt down.
Oh, hold on a second. Sorry. Any more questions, Commissioner Veal? Commissioner Hart?
I'm waiting for Mr. Martin to come up to the mic,
okay,
and he can give his background, and we'll move on and get to the next
We'll
question.
Open public hearing in a second. Any questions, Commissioner Hart?
Not right now.
Commissioner Miller?
No.
Okay. So with that, I'll open the public hearing. Any project proponents that would like to address the podium?
You have to be front and center.
Yeah.
Where do I sit?
Right over there. And please state your name and address for the minutes, but your address won't be in the minutes.
My name is Robert Martin, and I'm the land surveyor on the project. My address is 4404 Honey Gulch Road in Wanagoo.
Okay.
I apologize for missing whatever discussion happened. This is very awkward to me that we're here at the Planning Commission for this project. Just a little bit of background. It's very common in Lake Shasta to own the neighboring lot just to give yourself a buffer. In this case, they own two neighboring lots. Their house did burn down in possibly an electrical fire. It was not associated with the recent wildfires out there. And so in the process of rebuilding their house, they wanted to adjust the location, which would be over one of these existing lots. So, pretty simple process, I guess, because of the double frontage, we're here. And in fact, I'm really here for the next project. I don't think I would have came today for this project.
Okay.
If there's any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other project proponents in the audience or online?
Seeing none online.
Okay. Any project opponents?
Seeing none online.
Okay. So with that, I'll close the public hearing. Any further discussion by the commissioners?
Question for Haley.
Mm-hmm.
So, or Mr. Dean. Process for turning this type of project into administrative and not having to come here and waste all of our valuable time. Mm-hmm. Does that take a recommendation from us to staff and you write something up, send it to the supervisors, they sign off on it, and boom, we're good to go and you all can deal with this and Robert doesn't have to wait, the project proponent doesn't have to wait for a month, 45, 60 days?
Yes, that would be a good way to proceed with that. We get direction from the Planning Commission. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we need to agendize it, have a discussion on it, follow the proper process. County Council can bring that recommended language to the next Planning Commission meeting.
Sure.
You have your work cut out for you. Thank you, sir.
Commissioner Hart?
Yeah, I'm going to reject what Mr. Powell just said. Because there was a directive that came from the Board of Supervisors that boundary line adjustments are now to be indemnified by the project proponent to the county. I'm not mistaken. So that kicks it up a notch for me about legal review about going into a public hearing. And so that's the question to staff and to council. Can we do what Mr. Fowles is suggesting, or are we stuck with this indemnification procedure that's been put in place for boundary line adjustments?
That's not for all boundary line adjustments.
Well, I know, but I want to, let's just cover this right.
Okay.
I don't want to get the county into hot water where we go and do something and somebody comes through the back door and says, oh, wait a minute, here and sues the county.
Okay. Well, an indemnification agreement is an agreement by the applicant that if the county were to get sued on whatever the application or project is, the applicant will provide the legal, the funding for the legal defense. So basically, it is a somebody sues the county, whether it's at the Planning Commission, something did, or what staff did, the county is not stuck with funding the cost of the suit. To the best of my knowledge, at whether a project is at staff level for boundary line adjustment, or occasionally at the Planning Commission for boundary line adjustment, we'll have an indemnification agreement either way. So I'm not sure I'm following you, Commissioner Hart, because to me, the county will get indemnified regardless of who it goes through, but maybe I'm misunderstanding.
Well, no, I'm not arguing that. What I'm arguing here are checks and balances. That if there is a procedure in place that we're unaware of at this point, where I understand where you want to go with an administrative procedure. Mm-hmm. But is there something there that stops that from us not taking a public review of this, where the public gets to come in and, oh, wait a minute, and I'm going to go right back at this specific project. You've got two frontages now. Is there something in the CCNRs, like creating this, that says, okay, the property owner has to go out on this street, he can't go out the back door on another street? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Yeah, I guess my first thought is, I'm not sure, because I guess I don't deal with staff level BLAs too much. If staff nonetheless sends out a notice to adjoining property owners, you know, staff level, do they pay them?
No.
No?
Not at staff level.
Not at
administrative level.
Okay, yeah. not administrative level.
Correct.
So I guess to the extent the way things are now for public input, a double frontage, the public has had a chance to comment, and apparently the ordinance got amended, so it stayed at the administrative level. They would not.
I mean, I get if the homeowners association who oversees the CCNRs mm-hmm. has a problem with it, okay, we see it. But in this case, they're good with it. And it involves one single property owner mm-hmm. who owns all the parcels involved, and it doesn't involve multiple zoning mm-hmm. where, yes, I'm fine, I agree we need to see BLAs where you have rural residential, ag one, ag two, and you're shifting stuff. Okay, yeah, bring those to us. This is all one zone, all one property owner, and the homeowners association gave it a thumbs up. Do we really need to see it?
My question is about public notification and the public right to participate in that. I'm just going with what's under secret right now. There's a huge case going on in Florida right now with the state of Florida and the Disney Corporation over the facility they have as to who has the jurisdiction and authority, and it just all got turned out because there was no public notification, period. Yeah, they had the public hearings, but since there was no public notification, the whole thing got thrown out. That's what I don't know about the boundary line adjustments.
Could we get some more information on why there's the code to begin with
sure.
the dual, at the next meeting?
Yeah.
Okay, with the dual frontage.
I noticed there was no indemnification provision in this. Was there a reason for that?
That was probably signed in the office. Mm-hmm. It's not part of the package.
Yeah, the chair. I do those, and it's in the project file. It's not included.
Okay.
There is one for every admin project, planning project goes,
and
we get one.
They would just have to get an encroachment permit, would they not, if they wanted to access the
other lot? I'm asking a general question of staff and council. You know, I'm not wanting to hold this project. I just want to make sure that we're doing things.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, as far as... moving on this.
I'll give you a motion, even though it's not in my area. Or Tony can.
I'll give a motion. Are we ready for a motion? I move that we adopt resolution PC 2023-009, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, determine the Rutherford Boundary Line Adjustment BLA-23-01 exempt from California Environmental Quality Act and approving the project.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
No opposed? Okay, motion carries. Okay. So agenda item 2, the Siskiyou Telephone Tentative Parcel Map TPM-22-06 is categorically exempt. Staff report, please.
Thank you. Senior Planner Rachel Jarab. This is a project that was proposed by Siskiyou Telephone Company, for which we have Robert Martin, the surveyor, in the audience for as the project proponent. What they are proposing to do is take a small portion of an existing parcel and create what they call their central office on it. And central office is a phrase that caused a little bit of confusion. When we first got this project, it's not actually going to be an office with people. It is basically a server room or a switching room. It's for electrical components only. The only time that anybody would be in residence or using this facility would be if they needed to do some maintenance on the actual equipment. This particular project is not within any of the general plan overlay areas. It is consistent with the composite, and it is consistent with the zoning for the area. Actually, they could have built the structure on the property as it stands now without separating it, but they wanted to create the separate legal parcel with it so that there was separation between the property owners. Staff is recommending approval of this project. We have not gotten any comments at all about it, and there's a suggested motion in the packet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, additionally,
yes.
Subsequent to the staff report being submitted, the surveyor was able to go out to the project site, and due to the physical conditions on the site, the location that was originally proposed was modified slightly due to the slope, and Robert Martin can speak further to that reasoning. That was included, I believe, by the county or the staff clerk.
Okay.
To you guys, it is no longer adjacent to the property line. It's a little bit off of it.
Is that the new square that's on the map?
The second revision is 4/7/2023.
4/7.
And I believe you are looking at the
4/7 or 4/5.
The actual.
You're giving 4/5.
This one right here. It says second revision 4/7/2023. The one that has the aerial image proposed as staked on 4/5/2023. So they did the site visit on 4/5, and then they revised the map.
So that's it. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So you are creating a new parcel.
Right? They want to create a very small new parcel, which is allowed by our code for this particular type of situation.
And is that why the applicant is the telephone company, not the owner?
Is that why the applicant's what?
Is the telephone company rather than the owner?
The applicant is the telephone company because they are the project proponent. They have the agreeance of the current property owner to split off a little portion of the parcel.
We've done about 9 of these as they put in boxes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Elsewhere.
Usually the applicant is the property, not for these, not for utilities.
Any additional questions, Commissioner Hill? Commissioner Powell? Commissioner Hart?
No.
Okay. So with that, I'll open up the public hearing. Any project proponents that would like to speak to this issue? Okay.
Again, I'm Robert Martin. My address again?
Please.
4404 Hubby Gulch Road in Montague.
Thank you.
So I want to thank staff for helping with this project. Just to speak to Mr. Beal's question real quickly, let me back up real quickly. The telephone company has a central office down in the Somers Bar area. This project is to relocate it to a more easier to access location, and the current place where the central office is does have a power line, and now power lines are viewed as a potential liability to starting a forest fire. So to bring it down here, there'd be a lot less liability to start a fire. So that's the reason to relocate the central office and just generally upgrade the facilities. Now back to Mr. Veal's question. The owner obviously is very much involved as far as signing applications and giving their consent to the project, but because the proponent is Siskiyou Telephone, because the project is entirely to benefit Siskiyou Telephone, they are the applicant. They basically pay all the fees and such, whereas the owner just signs off their consent. That being said, I want to be available if anybody has any questions.
Thank you. Any other project proponents online? We're in the audience.
Seeing none.
Okay, any project opponents?
Seeing none.
Okay. So that's the close of the public hearing. Any commissioner questions?
Maybe a motion.
Okay. We can do a motion.
I'll move that we adopt resolution PC2023-008, the resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, determining the project exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act, approving the Siskiyou Telephone vesting tentative parcel map TPM 2202, and waiving the parcel map requirements.
I'll second.
So we have a motion and a second. So voice vote again. So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Okay. Agenda item 3. The BZ use permit, UP-21-31, is categorically exempt. Staff presentation, please.
Rachel Jarab, senior planner. This year's use permit proposes to establish a 2,500 square foot church on a 2.5 acre property that is west of the city of Mount Shasta at 102 Tamsin Way. The property is zoned for rural residential uses, which requires a conditional use permit for this use. As part of this project, the applicant is proposing the construction of the 2,500 square foot church, and the building is proposed to have a main assembly area, a smaller reception area, and 2 restrooms. The maximum occupancy is proposed to be 47 individuals, which is based on the calculated maximum occupancy of the assembly area. Worship services are held inside the building, with the exception of a sacred folk dance that's held outside. The dance is typically held during the spring and summer months and starts at either 9 a.m. or later on in the afternoon. This project is consistent with the general plan and zoning for its area, should the commission approve the use permit for it. And staff is recommending that this project be exempt from CEQA pursuant to sections 15061B3, 15303C, and 15303E. These sections apply because of the size, scale, and intensity of the project. The proposed building is 2,500 square feet of floor area, which 15303C exempts if it's a store, motel, office, restaurant, or a similar structure. A small church is similar in structure to the examples given, and therefore this section would apply. Additionally, section 15303 has a separate section for accessory structures such as garages, carports, patios, swimming pools, and fences. Because this project involves the construction of accessory structures, 15303E also applies to this project. And I'd like to note that the planning staff report did not include 15303E. That was added after comments were received regarding the exemptions that were proposed, and we took a closer look at that particular section. Multiple neighbors have called about this project, and I believe a lot of them are here today, and I have summarized their comments and concerns. I actually got so many that I created a little map for you guys so that you guys could tell where they were calling from and where their house was in relation to the in relation to the project. So we're starting with A, which is actually right here, and please note that these parcel lines are not accurate. The location of the letters is where the house is, but the parcel lines are shifted a little bit from where they actually are in real life. So parcel A is the next door neighbor to where the use is currently existing. They are just south of the house that it's happening. And both parties who live at this house called separately to talk to me about this. The first person who called me requested general information regarding the church. They were aware that it's been operating out of the house next door and stated that it did not bother them. The second resident at this location, because they had heard rumors of RVs and showers at the project site. There are no RVs or showers proposed as part of this project. I'm not sure where that came from. That was never part of this project. It only came about within the past few days that it started being mentioned. To be clear, it's not part of this project. So they were aware that they've been having services at the house next door as well. And then I asked them if the 6 a.m. services had ever bothered them, and they stated that they weren't even aware that they had been having them at that time. So they subsequently submitted a written comment in support of this project, which should have been provided to you earlier. B is right here. It's across the street to the north, and they had general questions about the project and wondered why a new church was needed, as there were others already in the area. I let them know that it did not, you know, I did not ask what religion this was as part of this project. That's beyond the scope of what planning staff looks at. But I told them it did not appear that the neighboring churches were similar to what was being proposed for this particular one, and that was why it was being proposed. They were concerned about neighborhood impact. However, they were unaware that it had already been operating at the current location in the residence next door to the proposed location for a number of years without her knowledge. Caller C is right here. They live directly north of the current location. A small portion of their backyard backs up to the backyard of the current location, and also their backyard backs up to the proposed location. They've known about the church operating out of this neighboring house for a number of years, noted that they could occasionally hear tambourines and drums during the circle dance, but was not bothered by it. They had questions about the number of people who would be permitted, and they raised concerns about the water use for trees on the project site due to wells in the area being very shallow. And I believe that the number he stated for his well depth was approximately 35 feet, so very, very shallow. They also had concerns about people parking in RVs close to their property and using additional water to shower. Again, there are no RVs and no showering proposed as part of this project. Staff informed them that all parking is required to be within a paved parking area, and that no camping on RVs on the property is proposed as part of this project. After discussing what was actually entailed with the project with the caller, staff proposed a condition that no overnight parking be permitted, and the caller agreed that that would make them more comfortable with this project. Caller D lives directly north of the project site on the northeast corner. They had questions and concerns, and specifically their concerns included water use due to the possibility of fruit trees being planted on the project site, which was again related to their well possibly being impacted. They had concerns about occupancy numbers, concerns about the septic location in relation to their water, and the potential increase in traffic. Their concerns, again, regarding water use were specifically related because their well is so shallow, similar to the next door neighbor. They are not in favor of this project. A co-owner to the home at this location, which is still location D, and is a sibling to the first commenter, also called with questions and comments. In general, they noted that this is a rural area and they were concerned about potential impact on the community due to people, cars, lights, noise, and water uses, again, specifically related to the possibility of fruit trees being planted on the project site. They additionally noted that they would have liked more time to read the staff report. They had noticed that there were activities being held at the project proponent's home, but were not disturbed by them other than to note that approximately 14 vehicles were parked in front of the proponent's house on Easter, and that had another car been passing them from the other direction where the vehicles were parked, they would have had to slow down in order to be passed safely. In general, they are not in favor of any development at the project site, and they are specifically not in favor of the project to build a church on the property. E is just north of Tamsin Way to the west of the project site. They had specific questions regarding what was included in the square footage measurement as far as how we calculated the square footage of the building, which the answer to that is we measured the exterior walls of the building. That's how we do for ADUs and for square footages for tax purposes and everything like that. So that's how we did it for this project as well. In addition to the square footage question, they asked if the kitchen would be required to build to commercial kitchen standards, and if the water usage for the number of people permitted as it relates to non-community water system and the handling of cooking of wastewater, there were specific questions regarding that. They also mentioned concerns that should Tamsin Way be required to be widened in order to meet CAL FIRE standards, that a fence that was built on the easement may need to be removed. They were not in favor of the project. Again, there's been a lot of misinformation regarding this project. To be clear once more, no camping or RVs are proposed as part of this project, and there are no showers in the bathrooms. The men's room has a toilet, urinal, and sink. The women's room has two toilets and a sink, and the circle dance is not held at dawn. At the earliest, the circle dance is held at 9 a.m. and is often scheduled for later in the day. In addition to the comments that I received via telephone over the past few days, as I mentioned earlier, we've received a couple of comments that were against the project, and those were submitted to you guys for your review as soon as they were received. And again, one of the people who I spoke with submitted a comment in support of the project. That particular person is the next door neighbor to this project. If there are any other questions, please let me know.
Great. Thank you. Any commissioner comments? Commissioner Field?
Well, I'll wait for you.
Okay. Commissioner Fowle?
I'll be patient. I do have a couple for Rachel.
But after public comment? Commissioner Hart?
Not yet.
Okay. So with that, we'll go ahead and open up the public hearing portion of the meeting. Are there any project proponents that would like to speak on behalf of the project? Okay. Please come to the speaker's table, state your name and address, and then we have 5 minutes.
My name is Robert Beasley. I live at 1341 Pine Grove Drive. And we've been holding services in our home for the past 8 years. And we've been having the circle dance going on for the last 3 or 4 years. We have Saturday night services, and that's been going on for 7 years. And my intention is to try to address all the concerns of our neighbors, maintain good neighborhood relationships.
Rachel, are you going to use a timer?
What was that?
Timer?
Oh, sorry. through the chair, did you want to have a 3-minute time limit or a 5-minute?
A five.
Five?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great, thank you. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Kathleen Alexander. I'm the wife of Robert Beese. I live at 1341 Pine Grove Drive.
Battery 100%.
And a few years ago, I got an inheritance from my parents. And about a month after that, we didn't know what we were going to do with it. But anyway, our neighbor called, who owned that property, Mr. Jack Tanner. And he said, I'm Jack Tanner. I own the property behind you, and I'm thinking about selling it. Would you like to buy it? And I looked at my husband and I said, sure. We have money. We might as well put it somewhere. And that way we, you know, have a nice open space and we could have a nice property. And so we had it, and we were thinking, what are we going to do with it? But anyway, we had it. And we have been having, as Robert said, services in our home. We started with just one, our early morning service, and that's 6 to 8:30 in the morning, and once a week. And then, we thought, well, why don't we move our services out of our living room into another building? So that's what we decided to do, to build a building. And at first we were going to be a big building, because we thought, why not? And then we talked to the planning people, and they said, no, a smaller building would be better. So we said, okay, we don't really need a big building. So we thought we did this one. And then we also do this dancing. It's about 45 minutes long. And right now we dance around our apple tree in the backyard. And we figured we could also do it over there. And since we're going to have a building, we could do it in the winter, because we could do it in the building, whereas right now we can only do it in nice weather.
What is the name of your dance?
It's called Pan-Eurythmy. And it originally came from Bulgaria, and so it has kind of Eastern European, you know, violin music to go with it. We dance in the circle.
It looks good picture. Is that you?
Oh no, that's the very famous Rila Mountains in Bulgaria, where they have like thousands of people come.
Okay.
No, that's when it very first began. So that's it's beautiful, but ours is just a little. Okay. So that's what we do.
Thank you.
Oh, and I'm happy to answer any questions. If any neighbors has a question or something, you really want to be open, and you know, everybody's concerns, we're happy to address anything.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we'll have a chance after to readdress.
Okay, thank you, Graham.
Thank you. Okay, any other project proponents?
I'm Sheridan Stanberg, and my husband and I, thank you, live next door to the property at 1345 Pine Grove Drive. And we actually moved to this area to be near Robert and Kathleen so we could attend services. So we live right next door to them. And they open their home to us several times a week, 3 or 4 or 5 times a week. And so we're just really excited and happy to think about having our own building to meet in and not have to invade their home. They're very gracious about sharing their home and making it completely open. And I don't attend the dances, but I go outside with my breakfast so I can listen to the music while the dances are going. This Eastern European music, she says, it's really lovely. And it's very soft. I can't hear it from inside the house, but I love to go out and listen when it's playing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other project proponents?
Hello, I'm Robert Boniker. Sheridan is my wife, and I live at 1341, which is right next door to Robert and Kathleen. You know, we have they're very nice neighbors, and all our neighbors are really nice. To second what Sheridan said, the music is very soothing. It's one violin. It's, you know, it's it's not hedonistic or anything. It couldn't be anything further from that. It's just people kind of walking around the tree and doing arm movements. I don't attend it, but it doesn't bother me. In fact, we go out and listen to it and eat breakfast in the backyard.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other project proponents in the audience? What about online?
I'm seeing none online at this time.
Okay. So, project opponents, I have some names.
Through the chair?
Yes.
I do have an individual with their hand up.
Let's see if they're a project proponent.
The individual with the last four digits of 4969, please let us know if you're a project opponent or proponent.
Battery 100%.
I cannot hear you at this time. Do you have your phone?
Hi.
There you go. Go ahead.
We are proponents.
Okay.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Susan Taka, 1605 Rainbow Drive.
Through the chair.
South Shasta.
Could you spell your last name, please?
T-A-S-A.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
My husband and I moved here over a year ago to this area and occasionally have visited Robert and Kathleen's home, and we find that everything, all of meetings or any gathering that they have, they're very environmentally conscientious. The people that come to their meetings seem to be similarly aligned. And they're very respectful of the neighborhood and the environment and everyone's comfort. And so I think they will do their diligent work. All projects that they have done have incorporated those values of respect for their neighbors and people around them and respect for the environment. So we would say that a small gathering place would actually, I think, help the neighborhood because it would provide an actual place where people could park and gather. And I think, you know, everything that they've done to do it in respect to they also have a small orchard, so they're very aware of water use. They have a garden. They're very proponents of gardening and organic gardening. So I do think that what they are doing would be in alignment. And Robert has been a builder for many years, and all of his work has been very top quality building work. So I would like to just say that my husband and I, John, Tasa, and myself, are proponents. Thank you.
Thank you.